Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with my friend, my comrade, my good time boy. I don't think that's right.
I don't think that's appropriate.
The captain, Jack Barry. Jack,
There's something nefarious going on. I'm sure there is stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Yeah. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Yeah,
it's good to see you.
Coming off of the Reformation Day festivities,
Dude. I'm in that.
Josh is in like the letdown
stage.
It's
the slump, dude.
Yeah,
it
is.
I got the Reformation blues.
It's like when the Yankees win the World Series, but
guess
psych,
what?
They didn't.
No.
Brewers.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, this World Series was like Mark Zuckerberg fighting Jeff Bezos.
So true.
At the end of the day, like, so true. I don't care.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, Reformation month is over officially.
Yeah.
We're out of it. Had an amazing Reformation Day party. Well, we did it the day after just because of family schedules and stuff like that. Mm. Our church is very blue collar, so they work early. Okay. So we didn't really work out to have the Reformation Day party on the Thursday.
Yeah,
we did it on Friday.
We
pushed it to Friday. But dude, kids dressed up as in costumes. We had games. We had candy. We had prizes. We had a Martin Luther insult trivia where I put my three other elders on chairs in front of the people, and I made them guess: is this a real Martin Luther quote or a fake Martin Luther quote?
Dude.
And it was compiled by a lady in our church. She did a phenomenal job.
Whew.
And it was so funny because she on the right side were all the real quotes, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, censored for family friendliness because Martin Luther.
He had a mouth on him. People.
He had himself a mouth. Yeah. Had himself a mouth, you know. But she put on the left side like a bunch of quotes that sound like, dude, could have been dead ringers for Martin Luther. Cool. Like they were so good. And I'm pretty sure she just thought them up.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have the answer key in front of me, mm-hmm. I would not have been able to tell the difference.
Wow.
It was bonkers. It was a lot of fun. It was pretty cool. So we did that. And then Lord's Day today, mm-hmm. so we're recording this Sunday night.
Yep.
We baptized a couple into the membership of the church.
Hey.
Had the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, all the sacraments were observed today, my friend. It was a good day. Going
full
through
meal
Hebrews.
Deal.
Oh, it was
full
the full
meal
it was the full meal deal, man. Have it your way. It really was. Yeah. 100%. It was a good day. It was
maybe
a really
not
good
have
day
it
today.
Your way, but
maybe okay. God's way. Do it God's way. Right. Double quarter pounder. Do it God's way.
Hashtag regulative principle.
Hashtag regulative principle. Do it God's way. Yeah.
I like it. I like it. How was your Sunday, dude?
It was good. I've been fasting now, doing intermittent fasting.
Oh, so, and like spiritual fasting. I'm like, no. Oh, do tell. I'm like, no, no.
I mean, kind
you're just
of.
Trying to get swole.
I mean, kind of like for prayer and stuff like that. We're going through a book and we're kind of talking about, dude, I have never heard this statement before, like the Daily Office.
Okay.
It's a very high church way of saying your prayer time.
Okay. Oh, so, calling it the Daily Office?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So yeah. Okay. We're reading one book in my Pastors and Leaders Institute.
That is very
Institute.
High church. Yeah.
Yeah. Group. And so, yeah, it's where I'm trying to come up with like a daily office based on my intermittent fasting times and when I stop and I start.
Oh, that's, yeah. Yeah.
To try cool. and, you know, do some stuff around that.
Yeah.
So
what's your window?
Well, right now, let's see. I'm supposed to fast all day today, but I broke it at 6:30 because my wife made some stew.
Dude, some you gotta, beef stew. Dude, you gotta. I mean,
yeah, I'm not.
I would be disappointed in you.
I had to eat that beef stew. Dude. That beef stew was remarkable.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
Yeah. There are certain things that I will break a fast for, and well, there's a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
Let's be clear.
So technically all day today is fasting.
Okay.
And I just drank like coffee and water for most of the day today and I was fine.
All right.
And then tomorrow my fast ends at 6 a.m., goes all the way through Monday into Tuesday. And then let's see, it goes all the way through Monday, stops at 12 a.m. Monday, which I'm probably going to stop it at like 8. And then the next day, actually, it does end at 8. Excuse me. My bad. Hold up. Wait a minute.
You're thinking, what did this podcast turn into? Our listeners right now are like, we're listening to two old
Ed,
men.
Ed is hating us. Ed
dude,
is absolutely.
It's
Ed
this is, or cigar reviews. What would you Ed rather,
is,
Ed?
Ed is killing. Ed is crushing something. He is shooting something.
Well, Ed's a big intermittent fasting guy. So okay. I feel like he's got to love this talk more than the cigar talk.
Yeah, he's got to. Okay,
both of us are doing the fasting thing. Okay, yeah.
So it ends. So technically this ends tomorrow at 6 a.m. And then my window for eating goes from 6 a.m. all the way through 8 p.m. on Monday.
Whoa.
And then it kicks back up.
There you go.
So I'm fasting again from 8 p.m. into Tuesday from 12 p.m.
Okay.
And then my window for eating is like from that 12 p.m. time slot to that 8 p.m. time slot Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah,
it's a little bit more advanced.
It is. You're jumping in the deep end.
A little bit more advanced. But this ain't no first rodeo for old fasting for old Jack here, people.
This ain't this first rodeo.
Okay. So give me a break here, people.
I got you. I got you.
So.
Oh, good gracious, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Okay.
We are so old.
Yeah.
Man. We just.
Josh.
Boring everybody. Yeah.
You want to hit him into that lead in?
Dude, yeah. Let's get into it, my friend. Yeah. Let's move on. Let's move on here. We got stuff to talk about. Jack, my friend. New cigar, new month.
New company.
New company. Why don't you hit us with this week's Reformatory Cigar of the Week? What do you got for us?
These are going to be interesting. November is going to be for Nat Seco. I don't know if you've heard Nat Seco before.
Guys, this is a... This...
And did I stump the chump right here?
This is
this is unbeknownst to
this,
Josh.
This is a first in Reformatory history.
Wow.
And that Jack has brought a brand to me that I have not heard of before.
Wow.
I have never heard of Nat Seco cigars.
Yeah.
I am beyond excited.
Okay. Well,
hit
get
me
excited.
Hit me, dude. I am here for it. All right.
So it has been a while since I smoked these. How I
it's
got these how I got these cigars was through shout out to, if y'all want a subscription program for any kind of cigar, highly recommend Stogie Bird.
Oh yeah.
From Sam Licia. I think it's Licia.
I think that's how you say it.
L-E-C-C-I-A. Yeah. So Sam Licia He actually is a cigar maker himself with La Silla Cigars. But he did this program that he started up, I think during right around or just really right around COVID time.
Yeah.
He started up his monthly subscription called Stogie Bird. You can go the premium route. You can basically customize it to whatever you want. Highly recommend that program and that primarily because that's what how I got introduced to Nat Seco cigars. So this is one of the cigars I got introduced to, which is called the HHB Gold. The HHB Gold. This is actually rated by Cigar Aficionado at 90 points. It was at one point. Okay. This is an interesting little ditty. The wrapper, so it's a medium-bodied cigar. Okay. Not going to hit you full-blown like a linebacker, but the wrapper is Habano.
Okay.
The binder and the fillers are Nicaraguan. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then let me go back into some pictures I made because it's been at least 4 years since I've had the cigar. So I had to take some pictures of like some tasting notes and I'm like, oh, okay, I remember now. So it's a little bit, the Habano wrapper is for more of like a little bit more spicier, richer experience. So even though it's medium, it still has that spice, mm-hmm. that richer tasting note. Gonna give you some pepper and some earthy notes and some coffee and some cedar and sweetness notes as well too.
Okay.
And this is the Robusto that I'm talking about. So some of these cigars, they may be out of stock.
Okay.
I found that the Robusto was pretty much in stock across the board.
Yep.
Josh, as I always do, what are you betting on the MSRP on this bad boy?
Well, this is going to be interesting because I'm going to find out whether, like, I'm going to find out how bougie these guys are. So I'm going to give a little wider range,
okay,
for this Robusto than I normally do because I want to know, are you bringing to me like good budget sticks or are you bringing me some bougie boutique stuff? I'm going to give a range of $9 to $13.
You're within the range.
Am I there?
So okay. It's 9 to 11 for the Robusto.
Okay. All right. So 9 to 11 for the Robusto. So fairly priced.
Fairly priced, especially for rated cigar. Mm-hmm. There, I will say this. There are some other cigars within their lineup,
yep,
that have been on the top 25 cigars of the year. Mm-hmm. Through Cigar Aficionado.
Okay.
So it definitely has been there before.
Yeah.
The cigar company has been around since 1965.
Okay.
So they kind of revived it a little bit more, but it was originally known for what they call their rejects.
Right.
So a lot of cigar companies do this. It's just kind of like the leftover cigars that weren't up to quote unquote standard, maybe.
Sure.
Like perfect standard.
Okay.
But yeah, Nat Seco, the All HHB right. Gold. Robusto, get yourself some goodness.
All right. I'm looking forward to this month, man. Mm. I'm looking forward to hearing about these new sticks. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and you know what to do. Whether you're in Reformation Month or not, go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack, we are hopping in. So, when this episode releases,
yeah,
we as a nation will yep. know.
Hopefully, no.
Hope. I mean, hopefully. That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. yeah we Knowing will, how stuff is
hopefully,
gone.
Hopefully, we'll know.
yeah,
who our next president is going to be. Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought for some reason this dropped on Election Day. It doesn't. This drops 2 days after. So Election yeah. Day is on the 5th. This will drop on the 7th. But I think it's important for us to discuss the perspective that we as Christians should have, not only going into election season, but post-election season as this ep will be dropping, right? Mm-hmm. I had the privilege this morning, this Lord's Day, of doing the pastoral prayer. Mm-hmm. For our congregation. end. And in it, I made a special note to mention, as I often do with pastoral prayers, you kind of, start big and then you kind of funnel yeah. into the local church. Right. So part of that funnel, if you will, is praying for, the leaders of the country, right. Mm-hmm. As I think it's biblical to do, our country leaders, our local leaders, praying that the Lord would, save them, right? Turn their hearts to Christ, and that they would rule righteously. And I made a special note in our pastoral prayer this morning to ask the Lord to give us the grace of perspective and peace when it comes to looking toward the future.
Yeah,
of the election that's coming up, right? Because as Jack and I are recording this right now, we don't know who the president is going to be. We record these in advance. So
I look at statistics, but I still there's so much polls can do, and it's not.
Oh, 100%.
That's not, I mean, anything could happen.
Yep, anything could happen, right? So. And what I made a special point to mention, and it was actually driven home in today's sermon as well, in Hebrews chapter 11, which I'll read here in a little bit, is that God would remind us that whoever it is that makes it into that Oval Office, mm-hmm. whether it's Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. they are in that office specifically because the Almighty Sovereign, Creator of the universe, willed it to be so. Mm-hmm. And in his sovereign plan, in his sovereign will that we are not able to know, mm-hmm. he determined it right and good that person be in that office, mm-hmm. ultimately to bring him glory and for the good of his people. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a really hard thing to wrap our minds around, I think, especially mm-hmm. when we look at the evil that is in this world and the evil that comes from evil rulers.
Yeah.
Right? We have people in our government and, in the presidential, position that do not love God and are not going to be ruling from a place of scriptural authority. That are not going to be ruling from a place of, first and foremost, what does the Bible say, right?
Yeah.
And that's just how government is in the United States, right? Yeah. That is the land that we live in. And it's no different in most other countries, right? You look at places that are even worse when it comes to government, the relationship between the church and the government, right? You look at communist China, you look at North Korea. Right. Look at the Middle East and you see the church under persecution from their government. Right.
Yeah.
Now, we're not there yet, but could very easily get there for sure. Right. Yeah. It would not take much. Right. And I think in some places and in some ways, the church is already feeling a pinch a little bit this could happen quick. Right. So I know for me, Jack, I have a tendency to get tunnel vision when it comes to political stuff and presidential stuff because of the way that it genuinely affects my life.
Sure.
Right? Whoever is president, it's going to determine gas prices and grocery prices and it's going to determine like so many things that these people could do policy-wise that mm-hmm. make my life and the life of those in my church harder or easier. Right.
Yeah.
So it's easy to get tunnel vision and it's easy to worry mm-hmm. when we're this close to an election and there's a lot of emotion wrapped up in it and all of these things. And it's very easy to become distracted and to forget that it is not the man or the woman in the office mm-hmm. that controls what happens in my life. Or in the life of our country, ultimately it is God, right? Yeah. And that's like, again, shameless plug, but that's why we like printed these shirts too. The heart of the king mm-hmm. is in the hands, it's like a river in the hands of the Lord. It goes where he directs it, right? And we were preaching out of Hebrews chapter 11 today, talking about by faith Abraham obeyed. This is verse 8. Obeyed while he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Right? Yeah. And then verse 10 says, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the different perspective that we as Christians should have when engaging, not just with politics, but engaging in this world.
Yeah.
Right? And the importance of having a biblical perspective that we are exiles. We are aliens. Yeah. We are passing through this Vanity Fair on the way to the celestial city that was built by God. Mm-hmm. And how that perspective, Jack, brings peace and it brings hope when the world seems to be tearing itself apart with stress and turmoil.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I think on top of it, too, it just it shows you how much, I guess, rhetoric any side of the aisle really does this, where they talk about hope. So we're finishing up Acts, and we're now in the point of Acts where it's towards the end, where Paul is doing all these testimonies in front of all these government officials and stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of ironic that this election day is coming up and we're talking about Paul being in chains in front of election I wouldn't say elected leaders. They weren't elected back then. But in any case, they were given titles and stuff along those lines to kind of put themselves into power through either heritage or through patronage or whatnot. And it just shows you that Paul's hope is in the resurrection, is in a historical event that happened.
Right.
It's already been determined. Our hope is secure. Our hope is anchored within the veil, to say, right? And a lot of political leaders and people who run for office will talk about hope in a very worldly way, like a very immediate way, a very close range way. Mm-hmm. And myself and one of my friends have always talked about this, that I think we have more of a perspective of like, honestly, you know, when the president gets elected, I think this happened when Trump got elected the first time, because I was working at a community college and there was such a massive, reaction to that.
Yeah, sure.
In a community college aspect, that I thought it was quite ridiculous. In the sense of how they reacted. They felt like the world was closing in,
right,
that ICE was going to show up on campus like that day and start deporting people. And sure. I'm like, So my friend and I, who was my best man, who Josh knows, mm-hmm. We have the perspective more of, you know what? Whoever gets elected president, like, your life's going to go on.
Yeah.
Your life's going to go on, and what's really going to come down to you getting affected, most likely, dependent upon your work. If you're in a union, yeah, maybe it's going to be affected a little bit with policy, because now we're starting to see that at the national level with different policies and laws being passed to kind of affect. If you're in a construction or trade union, you might see more work or less work depending upon that. But most of all, you're going to see your taxes either go up or go down, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Besides that, and maybe some ideology stuff, you're not going to be really super affected unless you live in a certain state, I guess.
Sure.
So I've always had that perspective that it's not going to really matter because we live in a state. Josh and I live in Washington State. That is crazy already.
Oh, yeah, it really is.
And, you know, we know crazy. Like, it's like that farmers, like, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Okay.
Right.
So I think about that in perspective. And I don't know, like, do I think it's do I think the presidential election is important? Yeah, it's going to steward the next 4 years of our life. There's going to be some crazy stuff that probably happens in that presidency. But ultimately, like, I don't think it's like a complete meltdown of things. Because I go back to my hope is secure.
Yeah.
Like my hope and my faith are not changing in the Lord Jesus just because of, you know, a president. Like, right. sorry to make that so minuscule.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, like at the end of the day, okay, great. They're president. And there's some things that happen, I think happen at my current workplace that affect maybe some future stuff that we do business wise. Mm-hmm. But other than that, that and taxes, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the opinion that stuff will be the status quo going forward, just because it seems to happen and the chips seem to fall that way a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So,
well, and our mission doesn't change. Right. Yeah. And that's something that I think is important to remember, because look, like I said, at the top of the ep, like I struggle with getting tunnel vision. I struggle with worry. I struggle with seeing big changes and being like, oh, I don't know how that's going to affect stuff. But look, the Lord is in the heavens. He does as he pleases.
Mm-hmm.
The Very Lord true. Is sovereign.
Yeah.
And not only is he sovereign, he's good. And he works all things together for the good of his people, whether that means Trump is in the presidential office or Kamala is in the presidential office. Both of those things are going to be worked together for the glory of God and the good of his people. Now, how that works out in terms of the sovereignty of God over those things, I don't know. I don't need to know. I need to trust. I need to submit my will, my emotions, my worry, my anxiety. I need to put that at the foot of the cross and let the blood of Christ cover over that, right? And I need to remember that the church, the thing that I'm called, I believe, to make central in my life, that goes on. The mission of the church does not change. The people I am called to lead and to care for does not change.
Yep.
Right? Mark Dever has an awesome quote. I saw it on Twitter. He says, before and after America, there was and will be the church. The nation is an experiment. The church is a certainty. I love that. I love that. That's a fantastic quote. That brings it into perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Before America was even a thought, the church existed, and the mission of the church existed.
Mm-hmm.
After America is dead and gone, as all nations ultimately will be, the church will still remain.
Josh and I are going to be on a boat in the middle of the Pacific.
Oh, preaching the gospel, baby!
Yeah.
I'm going to be on the Mayflower, too. Yeah, that's right.
It just goes to show you, like, I think Paul's experience of this is so true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at... And we were even, I think one of my pastors was commenting, like, look at how in some of the major turbulent times within those first three centuries of the church, so many people left major cities because of war or pestilence or famine. And who were the people that stayed and did the work? The church.
Yeah.
They were caring for the sick. They were caring for the poor. They were feeding the hungry. They were doing the work. And it doesn't matter. Like, Josh and I could be exiled. Like, you never know. Like, for whatever reason, I don't know if that'll happen in our lifetime, but we could be politically, religiously exiled for whatever reason.
Sure.
Let's say.
Yeah, it could happen.
And the work doesn't end, because you look at Paul's life. Whoop-de-doo. He was in jail for 2 years.
Yeah.
That didn't stop him.
Yep.
That didn't stop him from sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, he gets, I think he snidely, obviously we all have these kind of like, well, I think Paul really did this in order to do this, right?
Sure.
So, but yet again, like, it's just being reinforced by Jesus, who comes to him and say, no, you are going to be my witness in Rome.
Right.
Like, that is your target.
Right.
And it just shows, like, whatever situation Paul is in, it doesn't matter to him. Mm-hmm. He could be shipwrecked. He doesn't care. He's sharing the gospel.
Yep.
He could be on an island where snakes are trying to kill him. It yep. doesn't care. He's sharing the gospel, you know? Yep. Like, yep. it does not. And so I think if whatever happens, whatever political candidate brings down policy-wise, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't, like you're, like Josh said, the mission does not change. Your disposition does not change. It, yeah, there may be a certain environment that's different, so
yeah.
to say.
Yeah, sure, of course.
But the let's major on the majors and not throw the baby out with the bathwater every single time some senior political official gets elected or not elected.
Yeah.
Because ultimately,
senior meaning age, they're all too old.
I mean, that's true. Yeah.
Sorry,
I don't think
we got to get a cap on this sucker.
Yeah, dude. That's another story.
That's a whole other story.
That's another yeah. Semper Reformanda. We
it really
do.
Is, dude. Yeah,
but I don't think we're ever going to see a 40-year-old run for office like JFK did in yeah, a very.
I know.
Quite a bit of time, unless something different happens within maybe the next 10 years, I would say. But anyway, the disposition of you as a local church member does not change.
Right.
I go up to, like, the election day is going to happen when I go into my office. Mm-hmm. I will know, hopefully, within the next couple days, hopefully by the next time I'm in my office, which is on Thursday,
yep.
we will hopefully know who won the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a couple different things. Like, you know, I've kind of game planned this through some other people. And I said, hey, what if a coworker comes up to me and falsely labels me as like a Trump voter? Because I didn't vote for Trump.
Sure.
But still, they're going to vote for me, or they're going to think I voted for him because I'm a Christian. I've made that known in my workplace, at least to many people.
Yeah.
And how am I going to what is my tactic? When somebody calls me out, do I get defensive?
Be like, well, I didn't vote for Kamala
no.
either. So
yeah, it's like, it seems like you're really bothered by this. Like yeah. what's wrong? And you were going to get to a deeper level of being a missionary in your workplace than you ever have gotten before in your life.
Yeah.
Because when you stop being defensive or asking stupid questions and just say, and just label it, saying, it seems like you're worried about this. Why? And do it with a tone that's loving. Like, you care for people. Like, they're around you, right? You're a missionary to that place yeah. in your work.
Right.
That's something that I think is, because what is going to get the play on TV is political violence and riots and protests and all this other stuff.
Sure.
And honestly, people, you got to be above that because life goes on.
Yeah.
Life goes on. And to me, life does go on. And I really could care less.
Well, it gives you the opportunity to talk about the convictions instead of the thing. Be like, look, sure. Here's why I didn't vote. You know, here's why I didn't vote for Trump. Here's why I didn't vote for Kamala. It's because the convictions that I have transcend both of those people, right? Yeah. And it gives you the opportunity to talk about, like, why your conscience is bound to the word of God and not policy for you specifically, right? Again, yeah. if some people's consciences allowed them to vote, you know, for Trump, cool. Like, that's not the point of what Jack and I are saying. But it yeah. gives you the opportunity to have a deeper conversation than simply just Trump or Kamala, because that's just... it's such a nearsighted conversation
yeah.
that I don't think people really like. It's so much deeper than that. As and a I Christian, think, I'm called to yeah. engage in it way more deeply than just what I think is good for the country. Like that is a factor. Yeah. It is. I'm not saying it's not, but it's not the factor for me.
Yeah. I think the other part of this too is what Paul says in the epistles, where he says, if Christ has not risen, our faith is in vain, and our worship is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So I should be pitied the most then.
Yeah.
Because that is a very different disposition when you go into your workplace and say, mm-hmm. you know what? I'm a Christian. And you know what? Many people don't think that Jesus rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. So if anything, you should pity me at the least. But if anything else, you should look to why I should be pitied.
Yeah.
Or why should I be ostracized? Mm-hmm. And it's been, and it, the first three centuries of the church, it was like that. Like constantly, the church over and over again was ridiculed for taking kids out of the garbage when people didn't want them, literally adopting kids out of garbage bins in the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. When, like I said, when major wars or famines would happen in an area, they would go and show up. Mm-hmm. Like, people are going to ask you, why is it you do what you do or believe what you believe or have hope in what you have hope for?
Yeah.
And it has to be the same thing throughout the ages, no matter what time period, in peace or in war. It's that Jesus is Lord.
Right. Yep.
And if you can't soberly tell somebody that and give them, that's what we're there to do. We're there to bring a witness to the gospel. And right. why is it, Jack? Because this is what happens. When Trump got elected, I was kind of like laughing it off. I thought it was kind of theatrical. But
that's just politics. All of politics.
That's just me, right?
It's theatrical. And people, I take such a cynical approach to politics.
And people literally were losing it. Like running around with their heads on fire. And I went to work like it was another flipping day, like it was. Yeah,
because
and people
is.
Are going, Why are you calm? Like you should be upset about this, Jack. And it's like, why? Why do I need to be upset about this? Yeah. I'm doing my work. God is on his throne.
And this world is not our home.
Exactly.
This world is not our home. Right? And that's what gives me peace.
Yeah.
That, and that's what should give us peace. Right? As we engage in this stuff.
Yeah.
Is that I am here passing through. Now, does that mean that I don't engage with the world that I live in? No, it doesn't. Like, I engage in the world that I live in, right? I follow the rules. And
spoiler alert, Josh and I both voted.
Of course we did. Yeah.
With our wives.
With our wives.
We obviously like engaging what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And voting's good. Like, it's not a bad thing. I think you should vote.
But the extreme of that, which Josh and I have seen, is telling people that if you don't vote, somehow that's sin.
Right.
That is crossing a line.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. We have to be very careful to not interpret scripture through the lens of our American understanding and not the other way around. Because here's the thing. If you're going to say that, if you're going to utilize scripture to make a point somehow that not voting is a sin, I mean, you got to call all the Christians in the Middle East and in communist countries that don't have a say and don't have a vote. You got to call them in sin too.
Oh yeah.
Right. So like, let's be consistent and let's be fair. Sin is sin.
Yeah.
Right. And we cannot interpret scripture through the lens of our political environment that we live in. It's the other way around, people.
Yeah.
You interpret your political views. You interpret current events, you interpret everything through the lens of the authority of scripture. What does the Bible say? And then act in accordance to what the Bible says. And this is what the Bible says. I'm going to give you some rapid fire verses here to remember.
Okay.
No matter who's president right now. Again, I don't know who's president. Future me knows who's president. People listening right now know who's president. These truths remain the same. I'm going to hit you with some of these. Philippians chapter 3. 20-21, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. John 14, starting in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself that you where will be where I am also. Revelation 21, verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. 2 Corinthians 5:8, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for if we know that if this tent, if our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Guys, we have a home and a citizenship that is founded through the blood of Jesus Christ and links us to our true, our real home, which is heaven, which is where God dwells. This place that we're in right now, this earth, it's going to burn. America is going to burn. Russia's going to burn. Israel's going to burn. China's going to burn. These rickshawed buildings that we have set up for ourselves were never meant to house us more than temporarily. We are walking through this world as sojourners, exiles, aliens. We are not of this world. We are of a different world. Our souls are not bound to this temporal place. They are longing for a home that is not made with human hands, but whose foundation is Christ. Friends, we have to remember this, that no matter who is sitting in the overall office right now, whoever is making those decisions, whether you like it or whether you don't, your King, your Lord, your Master is Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, there is found great hope and great peace, and your mission as a Christian does not change. Whether it is a Trump presidency, whether it is a Kamala presidency, or whoever comes after, your mission as a Christian remains the same. You are called to glorify God in your speech by proclaiming the gospel from the rooftops to whoever will hear it, and die and enter into your rest, your final home, and be with Christ forever. That's what we get to do. Doesn't mean that you don't interact. Doesn't mean that you don't vote. Doesn't mean that you don't engage with the world that you're in. But do so not as people who are putting stock and hope into the temporal, because there is no hope found in the temporal. If your hope is found in politics, if your peace is found in politics, if your hope and peace is found in something that is has a foundation of the flesh, you're going to be sorely disappointed, and you're going to be very depressed and very anxious all the time.
Yeah.
But if the source of your peace is found in the fact that the sovereign creator of the universe, our Adonai, our sovereign one, orchestrates every single minute detail of this world perfectly, and he does so to bring himself glory and to bring about your good, my friends, that is a pillow of peace that we can lay our head on at night and breathe deeply. Whether it be Trump in the office or Kamala in the office, the sovereign creator of the cosmos is still on the throne. And we are the only people in this world, in this country, that are truly able to have peace, because we are right with that God. We have correct and good standing with that Creator because of Jesus Christ. Engage this world and this politics with that understanding, and I think it provides a better foundation and a better perspective. And we're genuinely and generally going to be happier and more joyful and have more peace-filled lives. Because like Jack said, I can go into the office, you know, when this episode drops and we know who's president, I can go in the office with the same amount of joy in my heart. Mm-hmm. Because it's not linked to anything temporal in this world. It's linked to an eternal truth that Christ is mine and I am his. And that's not something any president, any king, any queen, any emperor or ruler can take away. Mm-hmm. And that brings peace and that brings joy. So let's remember that. Let's remember that and go about your business. Keep investing in the local church. Yep. Invest in one another, because that's what you're called to do no matter what the circumstance is.
Yeah.
I've said my piece.
I think Big Eva has sung, Josh. I think Big Eva has sung.
I think she has. I think it's time. I think we have bloviated enough, my friend. All right, Jack, my friend. Well, why don't you get us out of here, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's attempts to make the local church central into the believer's life here at the Reformatory, you can join us on those things called the sociables. Yes, those dastardly things that we interact with through apps and through interwebs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You can leave us a comment, leave us a question, leave us an episode idea, whatever you guys are looking for there. All of our sociable platforms are at the tag at Reformatory Pod. And so you can find us on the metaverse, the Facebook, if you will, the Instagram goes well with chocolate or marshmallow, and the always garbage dumpster fire that is the sociable, formerly known as Twitter X. Yeah. Like I said, you can drop us a comment, a question, episode idea, anything that you want to ask us through direct message or comment or whatnot. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us in other endeavors.
That's right. That's right. Well, if you want to watch this podcast as well as listen to it, you listen to these episodes and you think, man, I bet you there's some real handsome dudes that are linked to these voices, and you want to be sorely disappointed, head on over to YouTube, look for the Reformatory Podcast, and give us a little subscribe. Subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, like, comment, as the kids say, all that good stuff. Maybe share the episode with a friend. That would be really cool. Leave some comments on there. That's always fun. You can rate this podcast and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We enjoy that as well. We have a Patreon. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, hold on. I'm going to go to this first. We have merch. We have merch now. Link in the description of this episode. We're selling through Amazon, that small mom and pop store, that little startup, you know, we're trying to support.
Jeff Bezos land.
Yeah, Jeffrey Bezos, I believe is his name. You know, he's doing some good work out of his garage. He's just, you know, he's fulfilling orders. He's up like all hours of the night, stuffing boxes, doing his best, right? And we're wanting to, you know, support that. But if you hit that little link in the description of this episode, you can get some cool Reformatory shirts. We got some really cool Reformed merch that's on there. You can get this. You can see it on YouTube. You can get this The Heart of the King t-shirt, which we released just in time for election season. But election season may be over. It doesn't mean that you can't still wear it, because the truth that it proclaims is eternal. Eternal, my friend. So go get yourself some cool merch. We really appreciate it. Last but not least, we do have a Patreon for $5 a month. You could hop into Patreon and get bonus episodes. You get the cool Reformatory chat. You get exclusive rights to first look of products and merchandise. All right, our patrons get first crack at all those. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. And it's only for $5. $5 a month. That's all it is. All of that and more could be yours.
Yeah. Right around the price of a grande drip coffee at Starbucks. I know this because I just bought one.
Dude.
It was like at $4.99.
I can't even say pumpkin spice latte anymore, because that's like $8.
Yeah, drip. Drip is $5.
It's like just drip is $5, dude. It's stuff like that. Stuff like that. No, okay. No, I can't get grumpy. For $5 a month, for a $5 holla, you too could become a Patreon supporter. And our pledge, if you do so, is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.